Matthew chapter 7. Long time ago in the olden days, if you had cattle, if you had sheep, you physically marked that animal that it belonged to somebody. Now they sort of put paint or they tag animals and things, but there is something about a mark that you can say from a distance, you can say that person belongs, that faith belongs, that person doesn't belong. There are things that identify believers, that identify Christians. They are marks of Christianity, but there are also marks of a cult. There are things that you can look and go, that doesn't belong. And you're not going to only be isolated sitting in this one church. There are going to be times where you're in another church. You're going to find yourself sometimes in a wedding or a funeral. You're going to sit there. And, you know, you don't sit in judgment. You don't sit just constantly condemning, looking for problems. But there are some things that ought to jump out right at you. And when you're sitting somewhere and you go, that's not right. I shouldn't have done that. And those are things that a Christian needs to have righteous judgment about. Because I'll show you something we pointed out last week, but Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you, how do they dress? All right, now Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he called them sheep. He says, false prophets will come to you looking just like you. They'll come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16 says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, here's a question for you. That is such a funny thing. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing. How do you tell when a sheep is not a sheep? Oh, that's very good. Especially when they're drooling when they're in your presence, you know. All right, lamb chops tonight. But truly, Jesus is not saying it's going to be easy to tell when somebody's a fraud. When somebody's not the real McCoy. When somebody's not a true sheep. He's warning and saying not everything that baas is good. He says, watch out. As a matter of fact, I need you to go to 1 John, way to the right. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 1. First John 4, 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but, and this is the word you should circle, try the spirits. I know we use a different meaning of the word. If somebody sets out a plate of chocolates, what do? You try every one of them, right? That's a different try. This is you put on trial. You examine the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So the Bible tells us to examine, put on trial, every spiritual thing. Don't you do that? Aren't you supposed to do that when you elect somebody into the door? Aren't you supposed to examine what they stand for, what they're going to do when they're elected? You put that on examination. You ought to put anybody that claims to be a spiritual leader, you better put them to the test. It's very important that Christians don't forget that. I'll take you one more here. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a faker, a fraud, a reprobate. So, you're commanded to even look at your own heart and say, am I the real deal? You know, somebody ought to be able to look at you and see the marks of a Christian. You ought to be able to tell, well, you're a fanatic. Amen. You know, if somebody thinks you're reading the Bible too much, that's a good thing. If somebody thinks that you're going to church too much, that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Somebody says you're giving too much away. You're just too nice to people. Amen. Those are the marks of being a Christian. Examine yourself and say, do I have anything that makes people suspect me of Christianity? So the Bible commands us to examine every believer, every teacher, every philosopher, every gospel musician. Test them, because I found out the last 20 years have been some of the most disgusting years in my Christian life. You know why? Because the musicians, the people who wrote some amazing songs for Christianity, ended up being homosexual. Ended up divorcing their wives and going and living with another man. Or abandoning their children and getting in another relationship. I'm telling you, you better find out and look deep and say, is this the real deal? Is it really true? Did not Jesus say, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the path that leads to life, and few be there. Sometimes I like how many Christians I hear about, and how many Christians I see. I see people, you know, claiming to be Christianity. It looks like so many of them, and then I find out, I don't think Christ would do that. Wow. I wouldn't promote that if I were a Christian. And you find out these guys are lacking a lot of the marks of Christianity, and you start to wonder, are they really even saved? So put them on trial. That means you just don't look and go, well, I like that, and I don't like that. No, go back to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 10. And the brethren. Acts 17, and verse 10. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went right into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word that Paul was preaching with all readiness of mind. What's another way of saying readiness of mind? Sorry? Attentiveness? Yes, Marcus? Focus? I like that. How about just the word hunger? It's like, you know, Nita's amazing. She gets, I'm up getting ready and finishing up for Sunday morning. She's downstairs on Sunday morning preparing the dinner, putting it all in the oven, setting the heat, the temperature, putting the potatoes on, ready to boil. Everything's on. We head out. So that when I come home and I sit down, I'm starving. I am ready to eat. And within a few minutes, boy, she turned everything on and it's done. I'm ready to eat. And a lot of people, listen, these Bereans were ready for whatever was true, but they didn't believe everything that came down the road to them. Verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were hungry, ready to go, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things that Paul were preaching were true, were so. So if you are going to test a church, what I'm going to call a cult, but if you're going to test a religion, a church, a preacher, a preacherette, somebody who claims to be a Christian, if you're going to test them, you better know by the Bible that you're claiming to live by yourself. You need to know the Bible yourself. Secondly, you need to start examining what they say. We're going to look at that as we go through and we study the Mormons. I'm going to let you hear and let you see with your own eyes what Joseph Smith actually said. Not what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints said, but what the prophet said. What he prophesied and what he promoted. You need to examine their words. You need to examine the authority that they use. You need to know, what are they relying on? Dreams and visions. Or are they relying on the Word of God? And then examine the fruits of their beliefs. Now, just because you like or agree with a church or a religion or a group means absolutely nothing. I hope you enjoy coming to church. But you don't come to church, and you're not supposed to come to church just because you like this church. You know what the Bible says? But you should go where the Lord wants you to go. And if my series of preaching for several weeks just makes you feel uncomfortable, what do you say? So what? Amen. Because the principle is, you don't go where you want to go. Your goal is to go where the truth is being said, where God's word is being preached, where Jesus is being honored. And if you get sort of worked over, rebuked and chastened and corrected, that's a good thing. See, we don't make and pick and choose our religions based on what we like or what we don't like. And yet that's why when you look at all the modern religious leaders, they design everything for popularity. They design everything for numbers and for people to like them. And that's not what we're about. Now, we're going to look at a list of things that are common to all cults. We're going to see what is common to all cults. Now, these are not just slight differences. You know, there are Protestants, there are religious organizations that have slight differences. But then there are groups that have major differences. And these things are common in all cults. And what we're going to look at tonight, I'm just going to try to go through a list here, because when you start to look at whether they're Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, a group called Seventh-day Adventists, you start looking at the tick boxes, and almost every one of them is wonky. They're messed up. So, first thing that you'll notice about a cult is they deify man. You know, if you read up about Greece, and you read up about Greek mythology and the Greek religious days, and during the time of Rome, they always made they made men into gods. And to deify man means to promote that you can be a god. Ultimately, I don't know where it's not true, but I have found that all cults believe that through a series of good works, through a series of trials, with all your best efforts and the help of a religion, it is possible for you to become a god. How many know who that is? That's Mr. Tom Cruise. And Scientology teaches that you already were a godlike being before you were born, and that if you work hard enough, you can, like God, control the world around you. That's what every Scientologist yearns for, is the ability to look at a problem and bring order. And create. And that's what Scientology deifies and tries to make people have power of God. And believe, let me take this a lot further. That's a cult. But there is a taste of it in the modern charismatic movement that says if you just have faith, you can make money. You can make things happen around you. All you have to do is just speak it into existence. That is a lie. That is a cult. Amazing to me. All cults try to tell people that they can become as God. Mormons have a phrase and a saying. They don't like to promote it, but it was written by one of their early prophets. Said, as man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. That's a deep saying, but it's just saying that one day God was just a man on some planet somewhere, and he earned his way to godhood. Now you're just a man or a woman here on earth, and if you work hard enough, you could become a god. Catholicism says that Mary, though she was just a human, she became a mediatrix. She became so close to the Trinity that she has power over her son. That is a lie, folks. That deified Mary. Mary said, what were the words where she said, my soul doth magnify God, my Savior. She needed a Savior. She's just a sinner, just like you and me. Buddha emphasizes that if you are good enough, if you work hard enough, you can escape this life in the cycles of reincarnation through suffering and perfecting perfecting, used another word there, I can't remember now, all of a sudden, trials, whatever it was. Yet the Bible's very negative. Did you know the Bible's very negative about mankind? You know that? Can I help you for a minute? Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Find Philippians chapter 3 in Romans chapter 7. To the right, Philippians. And then Romans chapter 7. All right, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Look at these words. Start in verse 20. Look at how negative the Bible is against man. For our conversation is where? Is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our beautiful bodies, our vile, our repulsive body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. One of these days I'm going to be like Him. But our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself, even your old nature. Look at Romans chapter 7 now. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now the will to do good is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find none. Folks, cults always deify man. Secondly, cults always have modern day prophets. The cult will always be founded by a person. Alright? A cult will always have somebody who will claim to be God's one true spokesman on earth. An example is this guy right here. Anybody know who this is? That's Joseph Smith. Guess who he's talking to? Talking to God the Father and God the Son. Is that a crazy thing? The Mormons don't really believe the Holy Spirit is any kind of God. They got a wonky theory about God anyway. But this guy stood up after hearing from God the Father, but this angelic, demonic being speaking to him, telling him that you are the final prophets of all time. You are the world's only hope. So Joseph stood up and he said, I'm the final prophet. Danger, danger, danger. These kind of leaders tend to be absolute. They tend to claim to be God Himself. How many news articles have you seen on TV of people in Australia, New Zealand, somewhere in South America? There is some goo, some weirdo going around claiming to be Jesus Christ, and he has countless numbers of followers. Some Spanish-speaking guy, I don't know where he's from or what he is, but there, how many Jesuses have you heard about in the recent few years? These leaders are absolute. They claim to be an anointed leader. They claim to be spokesman for God. They claim to have special knowledge and skills. They demand unquestioning obedience and that power and privilege be given to them. They demand perfection at all times. Some cults place extreme emphasis on prophecy. They're modern day prophets. For Jehovah's Witnesses, when you start looking at Judge Rutherford and all his series of prophecies, it boggles the mind that a Jehovah's Witness would stay a Jehovah's Witness knowing what they know about their prophets and how messed up they are, and yet they do. The Bible says, Matthew 24, 24. Go back to the left. Matthew 24, 24. Jesus Himself told you and said, for there shall arise false, what? Christs. And false prophets. And shall show, they will show great signs and wonders. What does that mean? What's a sign and wonder? A miracle. They'll do something that nobody was able to do. They will do miracles. You say, That man brought a person back to life. That person just healed somebody. Amen. Amen. They're a fraud still. They're a fraud. These leaders are able to do great signs and wonders insomuch that it were possible that they shall deceive the very elect. Third thing they do. They humanize God. Who knows what that is? Yes, Shiva. But Shiva, all these different beings, the Hindu gods, all the millions of gods in the Hindu religion, all look like people. Did you ever notice that? They bring God down to the level of man, of people. If ever you are in part of a cult, they will instantly and always deny God like the Bible. They will make God either part of this universe, or they'll make him, her, it, just like people. Thankfully, you know the Bible says that God is not like us. God is not a man that he should repent. He doesn't have up days and down days. Amen? As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, God is outside of everything. You know, there's a great scripture. Let's see if I can think about it. Acts chapter 16. Didn't write this down. Where's Paul on Mars Hill? Is that chapter 17? Is that 17? 17. Acts chapter 17. Yes. All right, I want to show you something really great. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that thou art that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, your worship of all these different gods, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world, he's creator, made all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord." Your problems God allows and actually designs in your life to get you so you get on your knees and you seek God. "That they should seek the Lord, and happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Verse 28 is the key verse. "For where do we live? For in him we live and move and have our being." So, when Neil Armstrong was walking around on the moon, where was Neil? Was he away from God? Was he far away from God? Was he outside of where God was? He was inside God still. Wait a minute, what if somebody went to Jupiter? Even Jupiter is in God. Folks, let me tell you, when God created this universe, it's not as big as him. We're in him. He's not in this universe. So next time somebody's worshiping a tree, or they're worshiping a statue, or they're being carried on the backs of some people, their statue or their god or their goddess is being honored because they have to be fed and have to be cared for. Remember, God is not anything like that. All cults make God like us. And I worry about that. I learn of Christians who are addicted to Oprah Winfrey, Joel Osteen, Kenneth Hagin, and a countless numbers of people who have made God and Jesus like us. Let me tell you, when Kenneth Hagin stood up there one day and his recordings all over the internet where he said that, if I can remember it, he said that Jesus Christ was not God until he was empowered by the Holy Ghost. What blasphemy. What blasphemy. There's, Joyce Meyer saying that Jesus Christ is the first man born again. Jesus did not need to get born again. That is a lie. Jesus was born again, she said, when he went to hell. Didn't go to hell. He said to the woman, to the man next to him, he said, today you'll be with me in, thank you, paradise. So my problem is that, now, there are differences of extremes, okay? But watch out. Watch what people say. You better know the Bible because they sound very convincing. Do not let anybody humanize God. God humanized himself when he became a man. But believe me, he was all God still. He was all God. Fourth thing that they do is they minimize sin. You know, it's funny, but they define sin as just very bad things. No, they say, oh, there are a few mortal sins, but really most everything is just venial. They're okay sins. Do you ever hear anybody talk about a past life sin that you need to work through? Run. That's a cult. Past life sin? What are you talking about? In Scientology, they try to help you learn about sins in past million-year-old lives that you're trying to work through now. Weird, man. They constantly change their list of sins. Don't you? How many of you remember when it was a sin to eat meat on a Friday? Yeah. How remember when it used to be sinful to work on a Sunday? You may not know it, but it used to be sinful to be black and to be in the Mormon church. They believed that the whites were from the good angels and the blacks were from the other angels, the bad angels. They had to change that doctrine. You know, right now the Mormons are changing another key doctrine. They're trying to say that it's okay to be homosexual now and be a Christian Mormon. They minimize sin. They cannot nail it and say this is wrong no matter where. No matter who, it's wrong. So they make things only that, well, only into the bad. How many of you remember when if you've ever been soul winning and knocked on the door and you ask them, are you a sinner? What is the normal words? No. I've never killed anybody. What have they got in their mind? They got the idea that a sin is only a really bad thing. All cults capitalize on that. All cults change and redefine hell. You know what Pope John Paul II said? He actually had the audacity before he died. He knows different now. But let me tell you what he said before he died. He said, hell is a state of mind in eternity, not a place. Most Protestants that I meet don't even believe in a hell anymore. They don't believe that Jesus was really talking. I actually had a vicar, whatever that means, a vicar of a Church of England, Church of Ireland here, tell me, as he stood there at the door as I was talking to him, there's no hell. Jesus didn't even believe in hell. He just used hell to scare people. Folks, you can't sit back and think it doesn't matter. Right? You gotta take it serious, just like you take it serious what your politicians say and promote and end up doing. And believe me, I'm getting so sick and tired of every one of these politicians from Obama all the way through to end of Kenny making a promise that he will not bring abortion back and bring the referendum through, making a promise that he will stay conservative and not promote homosexuality and then back down on it. I can't stand the fact that Barack Obama stood up there and said, I am a Christian and I stand for traditional marriage, and then within 3 years turn it on its head and say, I never said that. I believe in diversity. I believe in everybody being allowed to be happy. I hate that. Hey, you ought to hate it when it comes to religion. You know what? If somebody's a Mormon, be a Mormon. Let us see what you stand for and what you're all about. Let me know. I hate it when a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door. Hi. Yes, hi. Are you ready for a better day? Sure! can we leave this literature with you? Are you Jehovah's Witness? Yes. Why don't you come out and tell me that? I don't like that. You know what I do when I come to the door? Hi, I'm Craig Ledbetter. I'm the pastor of the Baptist Church here in Ballincollig. I'm a born-again Christian. I'd like to invite you out to church. You mind if I ask you a question? Do you know where you're going when you die? Wham! They close the door. That's all right. They know who I am. I didn't sneak up on them. I didn't try to weasel my way into the house. I came open and clear. Amen. You know, folks, we don't minimize things in order to get people in. We don't say, oh, don't tell them this. Don't tell them that. You know, you come to church, you don't know what you're going to hear. It's just going to come from the Bible. Amen? And it's going to be, boy, that's in the Bible. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Didn't know it was. But people are going to hear, stem discern, nothing weirdo. Let me give you an example. I bet you don't realize, but Joseph Smith wrote several volumes of stories. They were all stories. They were not true. But I think he actually believed it. He wrote prophecies. He says, one day out in the future, this is 1840s, remember. One day out in the future, they're going to make contact with beings that live on the moon. They didn't find him. But he didn't stop there. You know what he said? And they will meet beings that live on the sun. And you heard about the blonde who wanted to go travel to the sun. This NASA engineer said, sorry, you can't go there. Oh, yes, you can. No, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm going to be an astronaut. I want to be the first astronaut woman to travel to the sun. The NASA technician said, I'm sorry. You burn up. She said, oh, dummy, you go at night. See, you laugh at that. But Joseph Smith actually wrote that there are beings that live on the sun and we'll meet them one day. How I got on that, I don't know. Anyway, the point is this. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the cults never tell you what they believe. They only tell you what they want you to know. And they minimize sin in order to get you into their cult. Now, it goes on. They also change the scriptures. You know, hey, what Bible do the Mormons use, by the way? The Mormons. What Bible do they use? The King James Bible. Isn't that a funny thing? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Holy Bible, King James Version. And there's a second book to it. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, another testament. So you have the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then an extra set of books, the primary one being the Book of Mormon. See, they will never stick with one Bible. Did you ever notice that? Cults will always say, oh, that's good. You got that Bible? Good, good, good. We have a better one. Or we have extra revelations. We have the words of our prophets. Listen, if you can't stick with that one book, you're into a cult. If that's not enough for you, you're in trouble. They change the scriptures. They'll always find a way to tell you, oh, there are errors in that Bible. You ever deal with a Muslim? Muslims just seem as dealing with a Mormon. The Mormon will say, well, the Bible is the Word of God as long as it is without error. What? Well, there are some errors in that Bible. That's why we trust the Book of Mormon. That's how the Muslims tell you. They'll go, yes, that's the Word of God, but there are errors in it. That's why we go with the Quran. They'll always change the scriptures and try to get your attention off and away from the scriptures. They promote a different Jesus. Find out where I am, 25. Yeah. They promote a different Jesus. To a cult, Jesus is not the Son of God, but rather a son. Do you know what this is promoting? I love you. You're pretty close. This is the Mormon Jesus. And his countless number of celestial brides, wives. They promote a different Jesus. They'll say that Jesus was just a prophet like the Muslims do. They'll say that Jesus was a created God like the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses are. But the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 9 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God. John chapter 1 tells us that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. See, a cult will always say, talk about a different Jesus than what you know in that Bible. Also promote a different method of salvation. Isn't that a funny thing? You ever get into, you know what's great about a Bible-believing church? You don't have to do anything to get saved. But you know what? That's not very popular. You know, most people would like to go. They want to go to a church that tells you what you've got to do to get saved. Isn't that what they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost? All those good, hard-working Jews looking up to Peter as he said and warned them and says, "You crucified the Lord of glory." And they said, "Well, what do we do?" What was the response? Believe. See, people want to do stuff, so the cults gladly give you something to do. Cults will deny that salvation is by grace, that salvation is by the finished work of Jesus Christ. They even won't even talk about the cross. They'll talk about your cross. I get so, whoa. You know, when you start to get into the cults, and don't get into it too deep, oh my goodness, you'll come out so mad. Because the cults, and I'm talking about cults, and I'm not labeling them one at a time, I'm saying all together. The cults will say, don't worry. If anybody's going to get to heaven with all of your troubles, you will. You see, they won't talk about Jesus Christ and what He went through. They'll talk about what you're, oh, I really feel for you, all the cross that you're bearing. That's a cult. Putting the emphasis on, oh, you're doing well. Just, boy, God, He sees you. If anybody's going to get in, you will. That's a cult mentality that takes away from the cross and puts the power of salvation on you. Salvation by works. And that system is different from religion to religion. It really, really bothers you. They also promote a different spirit. Now, I like spirit in our church. I've been to all kinds of different churches, but this one's the craziest. Right? That's just like the gurus in Hindu religion, stuff like this. But when people all of a sudden become uncontrolled, and begin to fall on the ground, begin to froth at the mouth, and bark, and hiss, and laugh uncontrollably. And is blessed and promoted and encouraged by the man, by the leadership of that church. Let me tell you, that is a cult. Because they're promoting not the Holy Spirit. You'll never find anybody in the Bible acting like what's going on in most modern charismatic churches. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm not here to sit down and judge every nuance and everything. I'm just telling you, that's a different spirit that makes you stand up, scream, fall down to the ground, wallow, turn around, quack like a duck. People around him clapping. Wow, he's really filled with the Spirit. He's filled with a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. People love to be spiritual. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is? He's holy. He's holy first. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to get me right with God, not to get me wallowing on the ground. Man. That's a different spirit. They also, number 9, they promote feeling over thought. Now, I don't, listen, man, you're singing a hymn, we're singing a song, and you just praise God. You just feel good. You just want to praise. You just want to honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just want to just run out on the street and say, "Woo! Glory to God!" But the modern cults promote and push only feelings. They tell you, don't think, just feel. How do I know the Book of Mormon's true, elder? Pray for God to give you a burning in your bosom. I'd rather examine the evidence and come to a conclusion based on evidence. Amen. They promote feelings over thinking. What does God say in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18? Come now, let us feel good together. Is that what it says? Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It's reasonable. I'll show you how it's going to happen. cult will always promote emotions, intuitions. Follow your heart. The Book of Mormon says this, "And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that ye would ask God if these things in this Book of Mormon are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart and with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost." So it doesn't matter what it says. Just ask God to tell you if it's true. And if you get a feeling that the Holy Ghost is telling this truth, then it's true. A lot of Mormons that I've met will not ever let you bring up any of the facts of Mormonism. You begin to ask them some simple questions like, "Excuse me, are there any prophecies in the Book of Mormon?" And they say, "Oh yes, there is. Yes, yes." I say, "Okay, I only know two, and I know both. So where are they?" "Back on the back of 2 Nephi. And Jesus would be born of Mary in Jerusalem." "Excuse me? In Jerusalem? I thought he was born in Bethlehem." "Oh, Jerusalem, Bethlehem is all the same thing to them." So what? After that, you say something like, "All right, how do you know this Bible's true?" "I prayed, and I asked God to show me it was true, and I got confirmation in my heart." And that's not how you find out if something is true. Another question, Mr. Mormon. Where are all the cities of the Nephites, the Lamanites, and the Termites, and all those guys that are listed in the Book of Mormon? That doesn't matter at all. Really? Do you know, when it comes to the Bible, you can go looking and you'll find, now not every one of them, but almost all of them have been found. Ur of the Chaldees, Babylon, every city is mentioned in your Bible, every people group in your Bible. You'll find them in archaeology, you'll find them in history, you'll find them in geology. You'll find them. And I'll find one coin, not one village, not one river listed in the Book of Mormon. They don't want you to think, they want you to feel. They promote feeling over thought. Also, it's something called closed-mindedness. That promotes to the next thing, where it doesn't matter what the facts are. I think I told you the example of a woman that I was witnessing to. I was outside. She was sitting there, and walked up to her, began to talk to her. And the more I talked to her, the more I tried to open my Bible, she would go over there and she would close it. And I said, "Well, let me show you this." She said, "Quit opening the Bible." And I said, then we have to stop right here, because I'm not going to give you my opinion versus your opinion. I don't care what you've experienced. And she told me about all the things she had experienced. She said, "You're so narrow-minded." And I said, "Well, I'm about that narrow. I'm about that narrow." And I don't know how to go any further with her. I didn't. I said, "God bless you." Well, I didn't say that. But anyway, bye-bye. Folks, That's a sign of a cult, when somebody will not let you open the Bible. I've been in churches, and it's a shame. I've been in Baptist churches where the minister got up and he read a verse, and for the next hour he spoke and never referred back to the Bible. It's wrong. I don't want to hear what you know. I want to know what saith the Lord. Amen? Closed-mindedness. Another one. They believe they're the one true church. Anybody know what this is? Salt Lake City. The Mormon Tabernacle. You know what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints says? By the way, we're the only true Christians. All other Christians are abomination to God. Oh, really? Really? That's a funny thing. Pastor Craig, do you think your church is the only true church? Not on your life. We're messed up. I haven't got it all figured out, neither do you. I just know this. Jesus saves sinners. How do you know? The Bible tells me so. And he loves me, and he's going to take me to heaven. I got some things right. The church that we come to just has some simple things that we make sure are priority, and all the other stuff is fluff. And there are countless numbers of churches just like this. They all have different names all throughout history. These guys come along in 1830 whatever and say, oop, we're the one true church. All other churches are an abomination to God. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that convenient? They're the Muslims. The Muslims came up in 639, 640 AD and said, all religions, all Christians, all Jews are an abomination to God, and we're the one true religion. Now, isn't that funny? See, the devil doesn't just mess with, you know, Christians. He messes with the world. And it's just throughout all of history, the arrogance of we have the right, we have the truth, we have the right way, when the truth is God is the right way. Jesus. Isn't he the most hated name anybody could ever hear? You can be at work and you can say Muhammad and everybody will listen to you. But shut up and they'll listen to you. But if you say Jesus, they will turn their backs. They do not want to hear that name unless it's cursed. Amen? Because we know the one true church is Jesus' church. Not the Baptist church, not the Methodist church, not the Presbyterian church. You know, there's a church, there's a group, a church with no name. That's got to be the funniest church I've ever heard of. We go to the church with no name. Lord, deliver us. All right. They promote secrets. You know what this is? That's a Mormon handshake. All right? It's a Masonic way of shaking hands so that you know you're with the Mormon. All right? Now, if I came up to somebody, oh, Dan, here we go, and I came up, this is how Eric is, you know? He's and you get somebody like Dean, it's like, you know, we're just having fun. But some people take it dead serious. You don't know what somebody is or what group there is. They may be a 12th degree Mason or they're a 33 degree Mason. It's based on the signal you get from the handshake. People talk about the Illuminati. Some of that stuff's true where you see some president like this. Well, he's going like that, you know, showing some little signals. And I don't know how far to take that, but I know it's true. I know it's out there. And listen, let me tell you this. Jesus Christ said, anything that's secret comes out in the open. We don't have secrets. Christians don't have secrets. But a cult has secret leaders, secret groups, secret meetings, secret handshakes, secret revelations. How many of you remember Fatima? The three revelations of Fatima. All secret, slowly revealed. That's a sign of a cult. All revelation right in that book. They promote secrets. They also abuse sex. A cult will always take advantage of people. Let me find my thing. Cult is obsessed with it, man. You'll find some cult that will declare sex itself as evil. Bill Dawn, he's not here tonight. Him and I were talking to a cult there a couple of years back, and these men were married. You know what they said? We found out sex is a sin. Excuse me? You married? Yeah, but not really anymore. That's a cult. They're obsessed with it. They make it something that only they can have, they can do. Catholicism for hundreds and hundreds of years made sex sinful, declared celibacy the best. The Mormons, they want to have as much of it as possible with multiple wives and concubines. Modern religious leaders are so prone to an addiction to it, even with young people. They never promote the obvious principle that sex is designed and honored by God. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. God doesn't shy away from talking about it. Read Song of Solomon. God limited to only marry to a married couple between a man and a woman and for life. All other forms of it are fornication, incest, and adultery, and were condemned by God. And yet, the cults, you'll find it throughout the people. They can't live the Christian life because they're obsessed with it. And the last point is you can't leave. A common thing about being a cult, being part of a cult, is once you get in, they never let you leave. They always test the loyalty of their followers. Their greatest sign of faith is blind obedience instead of serving one another. That's their greatest goal. Leaders will be given all power. And if you're not close to that leader, if you're not in good with that leader and obedient to them, then you'll never be close to God. And if you ever leave, it has to be either by death or by excommunication. You know what that leaves you as? Spirit bondage. You're in bondage. You're in fear of a man. You're in fear of expectations. You're in fear of displeasing the leader. Let me tell you, don't go down that route. Now, there's a short list of cults. We're not going to go through all these things, but you've got, obviously, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, a group called the Seventh-day Adventists. They're basically Sabbath and law keepers that try to be good Jews today. British Israelism, you don't hear about them too much. A guy named Armstrong really promoted that the Brits were really Jews living in England. Anyway, the Baha'i faith. I always think of the Baha'i faith. But anyway, the Baha'i faith. That's a branch of wacko Muslims. Christian Science, and if it's anything, it's nothing that. The Churches of Christ. Freemasonry. The Unification Church. You ever heard of Sung Myung Moon? He's gotten old and he's dead. Roman Catholic Church is a cult, by the way, and even atheists. See, atheists are a cult? Think about it. They are so obsessed with a being they don't believe exists. They're a cult. They even have their own churches now. They're called the Atheist Church. Folks, the only way to stay free from cults, and the most basic, is to stay believing only the Bible. Never mix anything with it. The most obvious and most awful danger to get into is to think that you've got all the truth. You are getting a revelation. You know, Christianity is not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And you're constantly not worrying about everybody else. You're constantly worrying about, am I doing His will? Am I living like He wants me to live? And do I have the same heart? Do I have the same goals? That'll keep you out of the cults. But as we go through and we start, next time I speak, I'll talk to you about the Mormons. And hopefully you'll have a good laugh. But maybe it might break your heart and get you to where you say, you know what? They're just as lost as a pagan. They're working so hard in order for them to earn godhood. They really believe with all their heart that they will die and go to a celestial kingdom where they will be, if they're good, a god of a planet. They and their celestial wives will have billions of celestial babies that will become people on the planet, that will work their way up to godhood. They really believe it. They really believe it. Maybe it'd be nice for them to know what Jesus did for them. And that there's no planet called, what's it called, Kobar? Kobo? What's the name of the Mormon planet where Elohim lives? Kobar? I can't remember the name of the thing. Too much information makes me mad. Anyway, there's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell. And they need to determine where they're going by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, hopefully you've had some experience. We shouldn't live such insulated lives that we never run into a Mormon, we never run into a Muslim, we never run into a Jehovah's Witness. Maybe this will give you the courage to say, you know what, I don't know what all they believe. Let me tell you, you don't need to know all they believe. What do you need? The truth. But when they start throwing stuff at you, go, I'm glad Pastor warned me about that and that and that and that. I can't answer them all, but I can just give him light and give her truth. And give them what Jesus did for them. And you know, you'll plant a seed. You'll put a thirst in them. Maybe they'll come out. Every time I've ever had the chance to witness to a group at the door, maybe two Mormons, one of them's in training. And I may not be able to shake that older man or that older Jehovah's Witness woman, but I can shake up that younger one and get them to say, maybe we need to quit for the day after that last one. Let's go home. And get them to go home and open up their Bible and say, I never saw Jesus. I'll tell you this, and I'm finished. when I was 17 years old, I sat down at the coffee shop and Maureen Smith came out and handed me and my two friends a gospel tract. All she did was talk about Jesus Christ. All she did was talk to me like she knew him. And when she said, "Craig, you need to get saved. Christ died so that you don't have to go to hell. It's about that Jesus thing. And God loves you." Let me tell you, it made the difference in this atheist, Bible-rejecting sinner's life. Put a hunger and a thirst inside me, so I had to go and hear what this Christian could tell me at church. So it doesn't matter whether you're talking to an atheist, a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, or whatever. They need the gospel. So don't be afraid. Let's stand. Let's bow and pray. Maybe we take just a moment, we'd realize the cults aren't all the real problem. The darkness is the problem. I really believe the reason why there are so many cults, every head bowed, every eye closed, I believe there are so many cults is because there's so much darkness and so many people are yearning for truth. They are starving for some spiritual help. How shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to know that there is a real way, truth? Now the atheists want everybody to just give up on religion. And they are. They're sick and tired of all the different flavors of cult out there. Let me tell you, just because there are so many different cults and so many different religions does not mean Jesus is a fraud. The one true and only Savior would like to save this world. He needs a preacher. He needs a Christian who will look out at this world, look at people, no matter what system of religion they're in, that they don't know Jesus. And if they're so focused on their good works, they're so focused on their leaders, on the prophecies, or on the miracles, and they don't know Jesus, then they're lost. And they need a soul winner to lead them to Jesus. Folks, don't wait for somebody well-educated to go and give them the gospel. Don't wait for somebody who's thoroughly trained to do it. You do it. I'm going to do my best, give you what I can. In the end, all you got to do is open your mouth. All you got to do is just say something and the Holy Spirit will help you. Isn't that wonderful? He uses fools. He uses nothing. As long as we're using His Word. Father, give us courage and give us a desire. You come out of the closet. You go away from a place with four walls and you take Christianity back out into the darkness. You realize this world has so many cults and so many religions, so many ways that are wrong because there's not a clear presentation of what is right. Really, we're not even in competition. We're in a different category. Jesus is the only religious leader who ever died and rose again. Jesus is the only religious leader who was God in the flesh. We're in a category of faith totally different from all others. This is not just my opinion, my religion against all other religions. This is the living Savior against a dead religious system. And people need to know the difference. And people need to know that they're lost and they need a Savior. What a wonderful world this would be if it got turned upside down again in the 21st century like it was in the first century. I pray that you put that burden on our heart as we go home now tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.